Hello, welcome to National Treasure Minute. This is a podcast where we analyze, scrutinize, and celebrate national treasure 1 minute at a time. I'm Hugh from HughKeen.com.
I'm just Sarah.
And so we're going to talk about the movie itself and just its release and things for this first episode before we get into the minutes. So National Treasure was a movie that came out in 2004, came out in November. At the time, it had the best opening weekend for a Disney November release.
It's a specific fact.
Yeah, it got past. All these facts are coming from Wikipedia or Rotten Tomatoes, by the way. It got past the next year by Chicken Little.
Oh.
If you've seen that one.
I feel like I've seen Chicken Little maybe once in my life.
I tried to watch it because I think it's on Disney. Is it a Disney movie? I think it's on Disney Plus right now. And I tried to watch it and I couldn't because of... I'm not a little kid anymore. And I just couldn't... I don't think it's Disney, actually. I think it's by one of those off-brand computer animation studios. Because the animation style's a little bit different. Anyways... So I just thought it was funny. It got passed literally the next year on that record.
Oh, like, so
for
it was
November
like,
best
oh,
release.
Okay, I get it.
Like in 2004, it was best release, like Disney release. Okay, yeah, I guess that was a specific. Like best Disney November release in terms of money. And then next year it got passed.
Like ever in November?
Like ever.
I thought you just meant like that November.
No.
Oh.
Like any November that Disney released a movie, it was the highest one so far. And then the next year it got passed by Chicken Little. Anyway, just a little tidbit. It had a budget of $100 million, and it ended up making $347.5 million.
So who gets all that extra money?
Yeah, I'm not sure how it works either, because that's like they call that the gross income. And so that just means like, I think that just means all the income that it made, like total. And that doesn't like take out taxes and things as far as I know. So I don't know how much real money that is, you know. I don't know if there's a specific place that it goes. I think it probably just goes and they just reinvest it into their next movies. But that's triple what they put into it. And I know it was sort of an unexpected success in terms of money. It has a 46% on Rotten Tomatoes from the critics, as a 76 from the audience. One of the critiques by Rotten Tomatoes is that people who enjoy it are willing to forgive its highly improbable plot. It was directed by a guy named... I didn't write down his first name. His last name's Turtle Tob.
No way, that's not real. Funny. That's not real.
It's Turtletaub. He directed Cool Runnings, which is the movie about, you know.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so he has a really weird last name. Guess what his first name is?
What?
John.
You didn't believe me, so you looked it up. He directed Cool Runnings, which is a movie from a while ago about the Jamaican bobsled team. And it's based on a real story, I think, that one year Jamaica made a bobsled team. I haven't seen it, but I just know about it because of that. And so I thought that was an interesting connection. He also did Sorcerer's Apprentice in 2010, which also stars Nicolas Cage. It's a movie that I like. It's also on Disney Plus right now.
Did we watch that? I don't think I've ever seen it.
Do we watch it? I don't think we've watched it together. It's a good one, though. It has... Oh, shoot. I can't remember the other guy that stars in it. It's another... But it's sort of funny. It's another Nicolas Cage film where, like, the supporting role or the other male lead is, like, sort of a geeky, like...
A goober.
Yeah, a goober. So I guess that formula has worked well for him. Before National Treasure, John Turtletaub did... The movie he did before that was Disney's The Kid.
Never heard of it.
Sounds like a movie you would have seen.
Never
but,
heard of it.
It stars Bruce Willis, and he's like haunted by a version of his younger self that he meets in real life. That's a kid. And it reminds him of all the bad things that he was as a kid. And that's all I got from Wikipedia. So anyways, I thought you might know more about it, but I guess not. But the funny thing is, it's literally called like Disney's The Kid. Like Disney's is part of the title.
Oh, why?
I don't know. But like anywhere I saw it, it was listed as, it wasn't just called The Kid. Like it was called Disney's anyway. And that movie had a $65 million budget. And ended up making them $110.3 million. So it profited, but it wasn't nearly, it wasn't nearly the same scale or profit as the like National Treasure, which was the movie he did next. And it has a Rotten Tomatoes score of 49%. Yeah. So now I'm gonna talk about. Well, did you have anything for just about the movie?
I didn't do any background checking
on
the movie.
That's fine. That's fine. Now I have the top 10 movies of 2004, just based on income. Are you ready?
Yes.
You ready?
Wait, okay. Never mind.
Make sure you count. We're going to count the ones we've seen out of all of these.
Okay.
So the number one movie in 2004.
Wait, I think we should go 10 to 1.
Okay. You want to? Okay. Well, number 10. This is going to sort of ruin the surprise. Number 10 is National Treasure.
Oh,
National
that's
Treasure
what
was
we wanted. Okay.
Was the 10th. Highest grossing movie in 2004. Number 9 was The Polar Express.
Is it bad that I think that movie's overrated?
Polar Express?
Yeah.
I mean, the animation's not that great now. Do you just mean overrated
in
plot?
Just how people are like nostalgic about it, maybe. Mm. I just don't really feel that way about it.
Mm. Like, it's funny, I actually went to see that movie in theaters.
Oh, wow.
When I was, that would have been when we were in kindergarten.
Hmm.
And the elves scared me. So I had to leave the theater at the elf part.
I don't remember.
Okay, well, yeah, I think that might have been the first movie I ever saw in theaters.
But you didn't even finish all of it? Like, you didn't come back.
I didn't see some. No, I saw the end, very end of it, but I didn't see, like, the third act, sort of. Number 8 is Shark Tale.
Yeah, I've seen that one.
Okay.
Not great, I don't think.
Okay. It's by DreamWorks. Number 7 was The Bourne Supremacy from the Bourne trilogy, starring. That one ripped dude.
Never seen it.
Matt Damon. Is that the right
guy?
Maybe. Number 6 is Day After Tomorrow, which is a post-apocalyptic, well, not post. It's an apocalyptic movie where this guy, I'm not going to describe it. It's just sort of interesting. We watched it in science class in high school.
Gosh.
Number 5 was The Incredibles.
I forgot The Incredibles existed until that second one just came out.
Really?
Last year, whenever it was.
That's sad.
Yeah.
It's a really good movie.
Like, I didn't, whenever I was watching the second one, I feel like I missed a lot because I didn't actually remember anything.
Interesting.
From the first one.
Well, we should have rewatched it before we went and saw the second
one.
Yeah,
maybe. Oh, well.
Well, anyways, this is what's funny is I watched The Incredibles and Polar Express in theaters that year.
Hmm.
And, like, they're both very vivid memories for me because they're the first time I'd ever been to a movie theater.
So which one would you say was better? Like,
The Incredibles, by far.
Oh, right. Okay.
But also, my family went to go see Polar Express, and my friend, like, one of my best friends from kindergarten, like, him and his mom took me and my mom and some other friends to that movie for his birthday. So it means a little bit more to me anyways. But like watching them now, like if I was going to watch them now, I would say Incredibles is better. Like I'm not just saying that because of my young bias. Number 4 was one of the Harry Potter movies.
I shouldn't have booed because I haven't seen it.
Neither have I, but
well,
I
like
can,
one fourth of one, but
since they don't really mean much to me, I just don't really keep track of the titles, so I didn't write down the rest of the title. Yeah. It's just one of the Harry Potter movies. I know it wasn't the last one, because I had a friend invite me to the last one, and I know that was a little bit later. Number three was The Passion of the Christ, which is a movie about Jesus, obviously. Jesus Christ.
I haven't seen it.
It's like really graphic, and it's the highest like money making R-rated movie.
Oh wow!
Like in ever? History, yeah.
Hmm.
as of this moment, and it was. What's really sad is that I haven't seen it either. I think my dad owns it, but what's really sad is. It held some record. I didn't write it down, but Wikipedia said it held a certain record that wasn't broken until Fifty Shades of Grey was released.
Oh, boo.
And I was like, of course, the movie that, you know, breaks a record set by a Christian-themed movie is Fifty Shades of Grey.
That's sad.
Just shows where our nation has gone.
I guess
right?
so.
Number two was Spider-Man 2. Featuring Tobey Maguire, the first Spider-Man trilogy, before they all got ruined.
I've seen part of one Spider-Man before.
Do you know which one it is?
Nope. I could pick out the actor if I saw him.
Is it Andrew Garfield?
I don't know names.
Okay.
I'd have to look at a picture.
Well, who's the bad guy in it? Do you remember who the bad guy is?
I was probably like...
What the bad guy looks like?
I don't know. I was really young when I watched it.
Okay. Well, I've seen two of the first trilogy. I've seen Spider-Man 1 and 2. I've seen The Amazing Spider-Man 2. I've seen both the new Marvel Spider-Man ones. And I've seen Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Why are there so many?
Because Spider-Man's really popular. Superhero.
Like, don't people get tired of watching the same superhero?
I mean, it's a different plot each time.
I guess.
You like Batman,
yeah,
don't you?
Yeah, well, but I only like the new, well, not the new Batmans, but Christian Bale Batmans.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I'm sure some people get tired. And then the number one movie of 2004... You want to guess?
No.
You'll never guess.
Oh, gosh. Is it like a no name?
No, but it's absolutely hilarious that it's number one.
Okay, what?
Shrek 2.
No way.
Shrek 2 beat all these movies. Shrek 2 beat The Passion of the Christ and The Incredibles. Shrek 2 beat The Incredibles.
I feel like
I would never watch
if
Shrek 2.
I'm looking at this list now,
The Incredibles.
I would have guessed Harry Potter. But I just...
Really?
But maybe it's because... But maybe Harry Potter... was more popular like a little bit later. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not.
I don't know when it came
Harry
out.
Potter.
The books came out.
I think the books came out at the beginning of the century.
So then I guess it would make sense that it's not super popular
or
yet.
Or they started to come out then. I'm not sure.
In 2004, we would only been six. So like none of our people would have been reading it.
None of our people. Yeah. Nobody our age. Yeah. Not at that time.
I don't really remember Shrek 2, but I really like the first Shrek.
Yeah, I like the first Shrek. I don't think... I just, like... It's just on a level of, like, animation quality and, like, story quality. Like, out of any of these animated movies on this list of 10, like, The Incredibles is the best movie. Or it's at least held up the best since... In my opinion.
So it looks like almost half of them were animated and then half weren't. Polar Express, Shark Tale.
Three, four. Yeah.
Shrek 2.
Four out of 10. So I have seen six of these, which actually surprised me.
Oh, wait. I stopped counting. Hang on. Five.
You've seen five?
I've seen five.
I'm honestly surprised. Like that I have seen that many of these movies.
I don't know. I'm not that surprised.
Okay.
Because, I mean, a lot of them are animated, and so they're sort of...
I guess that's true.
They're sort of
and we
targeted
were kids
at
when
us,
they came
yeah.
out. Yeah. Yeah. So the only thing I have left for that part is in November, I already sort of mentioned this, National Treasure, Polar Express, and Incredibles all came out the same month, which are like three of the movies that I've seen from this list of 10. Mm-hmm. And two of them are the two first two that I ever saw in theaters, and the fact that they came out the same month of the same year sort of crazy to me, because I didn't, in my head, those events aren't close to each other at all. So that was sort of interesting. And then I was looking at the list of the rest of movies released that year, and Ocean's 12 was released in December, which is, I don't know if you know the Ocean's series.
I thought like 11 just came out.
Ocean's 8 just came out.
I don't know anything about them.
So there's a trilogy. It's Ocean's 11, Ocean's 12, Ocean's 13 that were made back then, obviously. And then Ocean's 8 came out recently. But the first trilogy is all men. Like, but it's made up of all men.
What
but
is
the
it?
One that just came out is all women. So mm-hmm. It was like sort of a women's version, I think. I haven't seen it.
Oh, okay.
They're heist movies. So like this guy who's George Clooney, he plans like to rob a casino, basically. And then in the second one, they rob another place. And the third one,
so it doesn't actually have to do with Oceans.
His name's Ocean.
Oh.
It's like Ocean's 11 as in his 11. Like
11 what?
Like there's 11 guys.
Oh, okay.
It's Ocean's 11
okay,
guys.
Okay, I gotcha.
Yeah, that's where the name comes from. Anyway, so Ocean's 12, which is the second installment of that trilogy, came out in December. And I think it's a much better movie than Day After Tomorrow is. But it didn't even make the top 10. And also, its cast included Matt Damon, Brad Pitt, George Clooney.
Oh my gosh, powerhouse.
Yeah, like basically all the big name actors now were in that movie.
Wait, you said December?
Yeah.
Do you think it has to do with the time of year that these movies are released? Like, are there more popular times to go see a movie? Because maybe around the holiday season, people don't want to go as much.
Maybe. That might be it.
I don't know.
I feel like usually if I watch a movie, it's at the beginning of the summer or it's at Christmas time.
Maybe. Maybe like Christmas movies were being released, so people wanted to go see those instead.
Yeah, like Polar Express.
Yeah.
Which made the top 10.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, to have that big of a cast, like that famous of a cast, mm-hmm. and to have the first one like be so good, you know,
right.
to not have people that break the top 10 in money, like people just didn't go see that in theaters. I'm just confused, but
maybe does it have better reviews, do you think? Like maybe all like some of these movies made a lot of money, but then people didn't like it.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I don't know about that. One other fact about these movies, The Passion of the Christ had a $35 million budget, which is less, like National Treasure had $100 million. So Passion of the Christ had less than half the budget and placed third on the list that year compared to National Treasure, which placed 10th and had twice the budget. Mm-hmm. So I just thought that was interesting. Okay, well, that's all I had. It didn't really win any awards. The movie didn't. The Diane, what's her name? The supporting actress in the movie. She was nominated for Best Supporting Actress by the Saturn Awards that next year for this movie, but that's really the only big nomination they had for the movie itself.
How do you think people feel about the movie now? I feel like people sort of look down on it.
Well, I mean, if you look at Rotten Tomatoes, like I was mentioning, the critics don't really like it at all, but the audience does really like it. And I think, like you were saying, I think you said this about how you would watch it anytime it comes on TV.
Yeah.
Like, I feel that way too. And I think a lot of people, there's been a lot of hate on Nicolas Cage
maybe
for his acting.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is.
And some people don't think Nicolas Cage is handsome. Which, I mean, like, that's not, like, you don't have to have that quality to be, you know, to be good at anything. You don't have to be handsome. But some people are just, so it might just be
They're turned off by him.
Yeah. It might just be that, and they're carrying it over to his movies.
Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't talked to, like, it's not a movie I'm like, hey, guys, what do you think about National Treasure? You know, I don't have that conversation all the time. Like, I might.
I feel like also, it's just not, like, a movie that's talked about much. Like, people probably will watch it, but it's not like, oh, I really want to watch National Treasure tonight. It's just sort of a in the background type of thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or just maybe if I stumble upon it, I'll watch it, but I won't go actively looking for it.
Yeah. But I do think I've always been a big Treasure Hunter fan. So I think that's why I like it so much. But yeah, I don't know how people feel about it now.
Didn't you say one of the things was like people or the audience is okay with how unrealistic it is? But like
critics were like, it takes, or like the people who love it are the people who are willing to forgive the plot, like the improbable plot line.
Yeah. I don't mind it. Like I don't mind how unrealistic it is or.
Well,
I think it's sort of cool that it could happen, like if it actually could happen.
We'll get into it in the minutes, but like a lot of the writers went to the effort of like making the history accurate.
Yeah.
Even though the hunt isn't real, the most of the events that they're basing their things off were true or at least close enough. They weren't just
It wasn't all made up.
And I think it takes, like, I think even though people will hate on the acting of Nicolas Cage, I think the movie's acted really well.
Yeah.
Like, I think you believe the people.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's what helped it. And also what helped it when it came out was, like, people weren't expecting it to be, like, the people who were making it didn't think it would be huge. And, like, people, yeah, the plot's sort of ridiculous, but I think the characters were good enough. Like I think the writing's good enough in terms of dialogue and things to carry that. But yeah, if we don't have anything else, I guess we'll wrap up this minute. And then we'll start on minute one. So
thanks for listening.
Join us next time on National Treasure Minute.